Well, you've been married 10 or 20 or 30 years, and it can be kind of easy to take your spouse for granted. It doesn't have to be that way. And today we're going to encourage you to remind yourself about why you fell in love. I'm John Fuller, along with Dr. Greg Smalley and his wife Erin, who lead the Focus on the Family Marriage Department. And Greg, why is it so good to walk down memory lane and just kind of go through that love story?
Yeah, there's actually a lot of really good reasons. I think it can help us to renew our commitment when we think back for Erin and I, 32 years of marriage and all the fun stories that have taken place. So there's a way in which those positive memories can fill us with hope, can remind us of what we've been through, how God has shown up, that He should always be the hero of our love story. And that's a powerful reminder. Look what God has taught us. But just the fun, it can be a way of just having so much gratitude as I think back to what Erin and I have been through, thinking, man, I'm so grateful that she's walked with me through all that and that we're still madly in love and we're best friends in spite of some of the challenges. I think it can thus give perspective as we hit new hard moments to go, oh, but we've also been through this, this, and this and overcame that. Of course, we're going to make it here. And then I think there's, John, a legacy component that I want our kids to hear our love story. I want them to know that a long-term marriage is possible. And so there's so many reasons why it's a good thing that we talk about our love story.
Long-term marriage is possible and desirable.
That's right.
I found myself more and more, just as we've gotten older, telling the kids, it's a wonderful gift to have somebody at your side this long. She knows everything about me and still says, I choose you, I love you, I walk with you. Well, let's go ahead and hear from Focus on the Family President Jim Daly. He was joined by Bill and Pam Farrell, and they've been here a number of times. They talk about the importance of remembering.
You also mentioned things like looking back, looking ahead, and seizing the moment. Describe that tool for us.
Right. And so romance doesn't have to cost a lot. So take a look back. What were the things that you first did when you first fell in love? Go back to the place that you first met. Go back to the place that you went on your first date, the place that you said, I love you, the place of your first kiss. Kiss there again. Go back to the place you honeymooned and honeymoon there again. The number one thing that couples that are thinking about filing for divorce, but then change their mind, is instead of giving all their money to the lawyers, they take that money and they take a trip down memory lane. And that has rescued a lot of marriages.
Interesting.
Looking ahead, like, there are probably things you'd like to do in the future. You may or may not be able to afford them. And if, like, one of the things Pam and I have done is we've actually written those things out. Say, these are things I would really like to do if we could.
There's kind of a date night. A bucket list, or there's a date night.
As long as it's a bucket list, not an expectation list, you're okay.
Right.
And you can then modify some of those ideas.
For example, going to Hawaii was on our list for a long time, but it wasn't in our checkbook as the pastor of a small church. I thought, well, we'll just like adapt that. I'll borrow some plants from my friends, make it a little, put a bathing suit on, a little
cook a
luau.
Pig.
That's right. A little luau in the living room with some like island music. And we had a wonderful romantic time. Right. And it was 10 years later we actually got to go to Hawaii. But anticipation builds a lot of romance.
No, that's really good.
And then seizing the moment is probably the most important thing we can do, because every day of our life, we have the opportunity to romance our spouse and we miss the moments.
It only takes a moment to walk to the car hand in hand. It only takes a moment to kiss when you say hello or goodbye. It only takes a moment to send a text message that says how much you love your spouse.
What if that feels like it's moving one direction? I mean, there are spouses that are going to feel like that I'm trying. I do call in the middle of the day. I do send flowers. I do deliver them one at a time before they're all dead, whatever it might be. But there's not a reciprocation of that. And that can wound people too.
It can. And it's good if you can. Oftentimes, that person's just afraid they're not going to succeed with you. And so if you can give them ideas like, honey, you know, I know that I've been doing this and that and the other thing for our romantic life. But, you know, if you would just take me to this really cool dinner theater this weekend, that would just warm my heart so much. And oftentimes it's just like, oh, okay, that would be a winner.
Well, then but honey, I put your snow tires on last week. Doesn't that do something for you? No, okay. So,
well, the other thing I would say to that person, Jim, is we want to do these things because it's who we want to be, not for what we get from it.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's good.
So often people say, I'll do this for you if. Mm. And that's where disappointment just breeds in marriage. Because almost nobody behaves the way you want them to all the time. So if we get the attitude, you know, I'm going to do this because it's who I want to be. And then we keep being who we want to be until the breakthrough happens. Because marriage really runs on breakthroughs. Mm. Like that aha moment. And you know how we react. Yeah, I've been telling you that for 5 years and now you finally get it because so-and-so said it. Well, if we can look forward to
those.
You
would never say that.
Right. That's not a good idea to say that. Right.
Because when the breakthrough happens, your memory of all the tough times disappears.
Yeah, it's so true.
But so often we get too frustrated before the breakthrough happens. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So do this because it's who you want to be, not because it's working every time.
Aaron, that's a rather challenging statement from Bill, that sometimes we do things for our spouse because, well, we kind of want to be the better me, the better us, if I can put it that way. What are some indicators that, guys, you're doing nice things for your wife, and it seems like you're doing it from a place of giving, not expecting something in return?
You know, the first thing that comes to my mind is, how does someone respond? How would a husband respond if his wife didn't lean into the gesture? Because then that's a great indicator that, oh, I was expecting you to respond a particular way. And when you don't, well, then I'm super disappointed, or I had expectations about how this was going to go.
Okay, so there's kind of whatever. A motive check.
Yeah. Yes.
So what if she doesn't respond like I'm, oh, what am I expecting anyway?
Yeah, he may not even be aware of what he's expecting or that he's doing something kindly, but maybe he's exhausted and worn out and really took a lot of effort to do whatever it is to show this gesture. Or maybe he was really busy, but he took time and thus he had expectations it was going to go a certain way. Mm. I don't know. Greg, you maybe could speak to this even more, but it's just looking at, you know, is he genuinely interested? Is he consistent in what he's doing? Is he surprising her? Mm. Is he joyful when he does things for her? Is he understanding when she isn't responding, or is he pressuring her, applying guilt when she's not responding the way he wanted her to?
There's a lot there.
I think for me, that when I do something for you and then I make sure that I point that out or remind you.
Yeah, did you notice I emptied the dishwasher? Oh, wait.
I totally did that. Did you see that this morning?
No, actually, I emptied the dishwasher this morning. I know you said Annie was going to empty it.
She was supposed to. So she's in big trouble, grounded for at least 3 weeks. Well, if I'm really trying to highlight that or make sure you're aware of it, there's probably something else
going
on,
maybe a motive.
But isn't that pretty common? I mean, don't we want to be seen and don't we want our good deeds to be noticed? I mean, Jesus addressed this with the Pharisees who were so very attention-seeking. So he talked about this, but it feels like I don't know anybody that just quietly does stuff all the time to serve others.
I would say it's how you respond or even react when it doesn't go the way you had hoped it would go, when you're not seen or identified or praised for whatever it is you've done. How do you manage you? And that's important because you can feel disappointed and you can feel rejected or unseen or unimportant. But how are you communicating that? Yeah. Are you communicating it in a way that your spouse can hear you? Or are you shutting down and retreating and pouting? Or are you lashing out in anger? You know, we have choice in how we respond to disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. John kind of lashed out in anger at us.
I know.
Wow.
I'm being very careful with my words.
I appreciate it. I resonated with you, Greg, because there are times when it's sort of like, whoa, what was that about anyway? Because it's kind of in me. I got to deal with me. Yeah. So, well, anytime we're talking about these kinds of matters, the Farrells are just a key component. They're so good in talking through motives and expectations and differences in marriage. And we've got their book here at the ministry, Men Are Like Waffles, Women Are Like Spaghetti. It's got lots of opportunities for you to grow in your understanding of your spouse and yourself. Get the book when you make a donation to the ministry of any amount. Make that a monthly pledge if you're able to. That really sustains us through the good times, through the lean times, especially of the summer coming up here. And you'll find all the details to donate and get a copy of the book in the show notes. While you're there, look for the link to a free article we have called 6 Ways to Make Your Marriage Happy. It'll offer ideas for rekindling romance and finding more joy in your relationship. And again, the link is in the show notes. Next time, we'll hear from Matt and Lisa Jacobson about how to show your spouse respect. And for now, on behalf of Greg and Aaron Smalley and the entire team, I'm John Fuller. Thanks for listening to the Focus on the Family Marriage Podcast.
Is your marriage holding on by a thread? For deep hurt, you need deep healing that only comes from the Lord. And you'll find it at a Focus on the Family Hope Restored Intensive in Michigan. Our licensed Christian counselors will help you and your spouse get to the root of your issues in just 3 to 5 days. And it works. 80% of the couples are still married 2 years after attending. Learn more at HopeRestored.com and talk with a trusted advisor. That's HopeRestored.com.